ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
एषान्नानावधाराणाम्
विधानं बीजमव्ययम् यस्यंशं सेन सृज्यन्ते एव चिर्यन्नरादय
This
form, nana,
multifarious,
avataranam, of the incarnations, nidhanam, source, bijam, seed, avyayam,
indestructible,
yasya,
whose.
Amsha,
plenary
portion.
Amshena,
part of the plenary portion. Srijyante,
create.
Deva,
demigods.
Tiryak,
animals.
Naraya, human beings and others. Translation. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is the source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of his forms, form different living entities like demigods, men, and others are created. Purport. The Purusha, after creating innumerable universes in the Mahat Tattva, entered in each of them as the second Purusha, Garbhadaksha Vishnu. When he saw that within the universe there was only darkness and space, without a resting place, he filled half the universe with water from his own perspiration and laid himself down on the same water. This water is called Garbhodaka. Then from his navel the stem of the lotus flower sprouted, and on the flower petals the birth of Brahma, or the master engineer of the universal plan, took place. Brahma became the engineer of the universe, and the Lord himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Brahma was generated from the Rajaguna of Prakriti, or the mode of passion and nature, and Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. Vishnu, being transcendental to all the modes, is always aloof from materialistic affection. This has already been explained. From Brahma, there is Rudra, Shiva, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness. He destroys the whole creation by the will of the Lord. Therefore, all three, namely Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, are incarnations of the Garbhadaksha Vishnu. From Brahma, the other demigods like Daksha, Marichi, Manu, and many others become incarnated to generate living entities within this universe. This Garbhadaksha Vishnu is glorified in the Vedas in the hymns of the Dharva Stuti, which begins with the description of the Lord as having thousands of heads, etc. This Garbhadaksha Vishnu is the Lord of the universe, and although he appears to be lying within the universe, he is always transcendental. This has already been explained. The Vishnu, who is the plenary portion of the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, is the supersoul of the universal life. And he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Purudaksha Vishnu. So the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood. And all the incarnations of the universe are emanations from this Purudaksha Vishnu. In different millennia, there are different incarnations, and they are innumerable, although some of them are very prominent, such as Matsya Kurma, Varaha, Rama, Nrsimha, Vamana, and many others. These incarnations are called Lila incarnations. Then there are qualitative incarnations, such as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, or Rudra, who take charge of the different modes of material nature. Lord Vishnu is non-different from the personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is in the marginal position between the personality of Godhead and the living entities of Jiva. Brahma is always a Jiva Tattva. The highest pious living being, or the greatest devotee of the Lord, is empowered with the potency of the Lord for creation, and he is called Brahma. His power is like the power of the sun reflected in valuable stones and jewels. When there is no such living entity, there is no such living being to take charge of the post of Brahma, the Lord himself becomes a Brahma and takes charge of the post. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living being. He is the plenary portion of the Lord. But because Lord Shiva is in direct touch with material nature, he is not exactly in the same transcendental position as Lord Vishnu. The difference is like that between milk and curd. Curd is nothing but milk, and yet it cannot be used in place of milk. The next incarnations of the Manus, within one day's duration of the life of Brahma, which is calculated by our solar year as 4,300,000 times 1,000 years, there are 14 Manus. Therefore, there are 420 Manus in 1 month of Brahma, 5,040 Manus in a year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years of his age, and therefore there are 5,040 times 100, or 504,000 Manus in the duration of Brahma's life. There are innumerable universes with one Brahma in each of them, and all of them are created and annihilated during the breathing time of the Purusha. Therefore, one can simply imagine how many millions of Manus there are during one breath of the Purusha. The Manus who are prominent within this universe are as follows. Yajna as Swayambhuva Manu, Vibhu as Svarochisha Manu, Satyasena as Uttama Manu, Hari as Tamasa Manu, Vaikuntha as Raivata Manu, Ajita as Chakshusha Manu, Vamana as Vaivasvata Manu, the present age is under the Vaivasvata Manu, Sarvabhauma as Savarni Manu, Rishabha as Daksha Savarni Manu, Vishvakshena as Brahma Savarni Manu, Dharmasetu as Dharma Savarni Manu, Sudhama as Rudra Savarni Manu, Yogeshwara as Deva Savarni Manu, and Brihadbhanu as Indra Savarni Manu. These are the names of one set of 14 Manus covering 4,300,000,000 solar years as described above. Then there are the Yuga avatars, the incarnations of the millennia. The Yugas are known as Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The incarnations of each Yuga are different colored. The colors are white, red, black, and yellow. In the Dvapara age, Lord Krishna in black color appeared, and in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya in yellow color appeared. So all the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. There's no scope for an impostor to become an incarnation. For an incarnation must be mentioned in the Shastra. An incarnation does not declare himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, but great sages agree by the symptoms mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The features of the incarnation and the particular type of mission which he has to execute are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Apart from the direct incarnations, there are innumerable empowered incarnations. They are also mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Such incarnations are directly as well as indirectly empowered. When they are directly empowered, they are called incarnations. But when they are indirectly empowered, they are called vibhutis. Directly empowered incarnations are the Kumaras, Narada, Pitu, Sesha, Ananta, etc. As far as vibhutis are concerned, they are very explicitly described in the Bhagavad Gita in the vibhuti chapter. And for all these different types of incarnations, the fountainhead is the Garbhodaksha edition. So in this chapter now we're going into the incarnations of the Lord, purpose being to show that all these incarnations, then the topmost is Krishna, he's the source. Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, he is the source of all the incarnations. So this is the principal point that is trying to be obtained by this chapter. But to understand that, then to appreciate Krishna's position, then one needs to explain all the detail that goes along with that position. how you have the original Godhead, which will be explained later on. But within the material world, you have Karana Daksha, then here Garbha Daksha Vishnu is being explained, and then it comes to Hira Daksha Vishnu. So now Garbha Daksha Vishnu, then by entering the universe, then we have the Mahatattva, because all the living entities, consciousness, the ego, the desire for activity, all these things come into place. So in that position, then is the primary creation. The Lord creates the universe, actually. But it is not seen by us. It is seen by the sages, by the Lord's associates, who always reside with Him. But for everyone else, they see the universe when Brahma manifests it. But the creation has already been done by Krishna at this point of Mahatattva. Therefore it is special, it's in its own category. Pradhan is just the material energy, raw material energy. But when the Lord enters it and everything is ready for the external manifestation, that is called Mahatattva. That's why you see that it's always referred to. And when it gets technical, Mahatattva is always mentioned. Pradhan you don't hear so much, but Mahatattva you do. Then after that, then we'll hear about the details of the creation, of Brahma's creation. So the important element there in that Mahatattva is the Lord's expanding His potencies and the consciousness that is there in every living entity within that Mahatattva. Because the living entity wants to continue their existence in the material world, so they have their desire. And because of that, then all the forms manifest. Right? There's no need for forms if there's no consciousness. The form is indicative of the consciousness. So then, all the various species of life, all the different stations in life, those are all then created by the Lord, so that all the consciousness of the living entities in the unmanifest state of Mahatattva can have a place. Then, as Brahma is created, then we will see after, then He will create everything. But in this chapter, the main thing is incarnation, so that will be only slightly mentioned. But later on, then we'll get more detail of the whole creation, the primary and secondary creation. So here then, the Lord then Himself is expanding through the Purusha avatars. Karana Daksha is creating the universes. Then Garbha Daksha enters them and expands His potencies and incarnations within the universe. And then Hira Daksha enters into everything created in the universe. So these various functions of the Lord are then important. So Garbha Daksha Vishnu is Prajumna. Therefore Prajumna, He is Cupid. He is the attractive feature. That's why one can say confidently the material world, its basic principle is sense gratification. Because the primary deity who is expanded and the whole universe is working on is Prajumna. So then that aspect is there, but within the material. So then Prajumna, then His entering everything, so we see here there's two aspects He's entering. By the direct incarnations and by the indirect, or the vibhutis, the potencies. So when you have a personality and they are performing specific functions based on the Lord's qualities and pastimes, then that's a direct incarnation. And so besides Leela avatars and others, then we see we get down to the Shaktivesha avatars and that Kumaras, Nar, Pritu, Sesha, Ananta. So some of them are directly Vishnu, some of them are Jivas who have been empowered with certain potencies, but these are all positions. There's always a Narad Muni. Right? There's always the Kumaras, there's always Pritu, there's always Sesha. All these things are always there. People come to perform particular duties, and a particular living entity is put into it. As we see in the Manas, that the Manus, there are 14 Manus. And we hear the Vaidasvata Manu, but Vaidasvata is the post. then you have a particular individual who has the qualification to perform the duties of that post. But the posts, those are incarnations of the Lord, because they are empowered to do those particular aspects. Then you have the vibhutis, which means the qualities of the material nature, where power and something attractive is there. Just like you go to the ocean, people like the ocean, it's attractive. Of all bodies of water, generally you find the ocean gets the most attractiveness. People will go to rivers, will go to large lakes. But if they had the option to go to beaches on the ocean, they would go there. Right? Generally when you think of something pleasant, they always have a beach on the ocean. Right? Very rare you have a river or a lake. Right? If you don't have anything else, it's nice, it looks good, there will be pictures of it. But if you had, you know, a choice of where you went to go, then you generally see people think of, you know, pleasant oceanside, you know, places, you know, nice sands and coconut trees, and, you know, the turquoise water, you know, with the piranhas and crocodiles, you know, all these different pleasant things that are there in these tropical climates. So that kind of element then is seen. So why is that? Why would the ocean be the most attractive out of all the bodies of water? It's because that is empowered with Krishna's potency. So that, of all bodies of water, then the ocean has that manifestation of Krishna's potency. Therefore it's attractive. So anything in the material world that is attractive, it's because the Lord's vibhuti, or potency, is there. But it's only His potency, it's not Him. That's the point, is that He is non-different from it, because it's His potency, but He as a person is different. Right? Because one could say, this is the danger of this point, contemplating this point, there's a danger. That danger is, oh, it's Krishna. You know, the attraction to money, to fame, to position, to, you know, family, to all these different things, it's all Krishna. So what's the problem? I'm just interacting with Krishna, so I'm very Krishna conscious, right? I'm a complete madman about getting my money and position and fighting everybody else off and all that. And I'm being Krishna conscious, this is Krishna. So the difficulty comes is that it's, one may say, yes, the inspiration of your attraction to it is Krishna, but the money itself is not. The family is not. Whatever you are attracted to is dead material energy. Only because there's a Lord's potency in it, you can become attracted. Because the jiva, being spiritual, cannot become attracted by dead matter. Right? That's, you can't. You have a live person, we're attracted. You have a dead person, we're not. So actually the attraction is to the person, the soul, not to the body. But being materially inclined, we can't see that far. We only see as far as what in the body. And so we say we're attracted to the body. No, we're attracted to the soul. So that's one problem, is you're not attracted to the Lord. Because the Lord is there, you become interested, but you're not attracted by it. You know, it's just like you have a light, and it shines through a, you know, what do you call it? The colored glass? No, it's like, you know, they make the nice pictures. Huh? It's not a kaleidoscope, it's not a picture. Stained glass windows, yeah. So you have a stained glass window with some nice, you know, picture there. And a light behind it. Without the light, you can't see it. It's nothing. I mean, stained glass windows are pretty boring if there's no light shining through them. You shine the light through them, you go, wow, what a nice stained glass window. But actually, it's what a nice light. Stained glass window is pretty boring. So that's how the material world works. Is that we'll always see the window. We'll never see the light. We don't yet. Yeah, we'll never see the light. We don't see the light. You see the light. You know, like that. So we never quite make it to that platform. So that's what we're trying to get to, is seeing the light and forgetting about the stained glass window. Right? You open the window and like that. So, but the reason that it is attractive, because then the person will say, yes, yes, you finally got it. It's the light. It's the light. You know, it says, no, but it's the person behind the light. So the person behind the light is the origin or source of that stained glass window. So that's why it becomes something the soul can relate to, because it's close, it's similar to the Lord, His name, form, qualities, and pastime. Therefore, it becomes attractive. So, therefore, one can't say one's being God conscious. Now, in dealing with it, if you understand it's the Lord's potency, and that potency is dealt with properly because it is Krishna's potency, then you can say that as it is indirect, it is vibhuti, that it is also indirect service. Right? You're dealing with the potency, you deal with it properly, therefore then it is indirect. It is Krishna. You know, you go down to the ocean, you play in the water, remembering this is Krishna. Then it's Krishna. And you play with it as you play with water. You don't play with it as you play with something else. So then you're maintaining the proper dealings with the object. So then this is just the beginning. So that's the point, is that for the neophytes, they start off on this as seeing the Lord's potencies in the staff. They think this is the Lord, but actually then that is only the Udipana, the inspiration to remember the Lord. The Lord doesn't, this is attractive because of the Lord's pastimes. So that anything in the material world can inspire one to remember Krishna. So that aspect is there. So all these incarnations, anything that goes on in the universe is the Lord's incarnations. Therefore one could think, well, Bhagavatam has so many things it discusses, the creation and all these planets and all these different people and all that. We just want to hear about the Lord, but actually all is the Lord. But Bhagavatam describes is the Lord. These are positions. There's always a Markandeya Rishi. There's always the Kumaras. Right? You always have a Durvasa. Right? It's just the way it's built. Different jivas may take up those positions, but the position itself is created by the Lord. It's the incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, the universe then unfolds and manifests in particular ways. So the whole idea of this is then to see the broad range of all the incarnations. So then we could appreciate actually how special it is that the Bhagavatam then is discussing Krishna. This is the point. Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations. So you start off with what we know here. The material world, all these things are there. And then there's the Supreme Lord. Then we see behind that, then there's Krishna. Any questions? Yes? Oh, is Narad Muni opposed to her? See, is that one would be slightly different in that Narad Muni is an eternal personality, so then he's expanded in all the universes. But it's opposed, but it's always filled by the same person. It's filled by himself, like that. But Brahma, that's opposed, it means as many universes you have, that many jivas you have. But Narad Muni is the same Narad in all the universes and in the spiritual world. So he's just, because he's a special, he's one of the main incarnations of the Lord. Srivas Thakur is one of the Panchatattva. Therefore, just as the Lord expands, you know, Nityananda has unlimited expansions of the Vaikuntha Murtis, the Sambhishan, Vajumna, Ayurveda, and Vasudeva. There's unlimited, but Nityananda is the, you know, the source. And the Dvaitacharya then, then he expands as the other Purushas and then expands into the universe. So he has unlimited incarnations. Then Lord Chaitanya, he's the source of that. Then Garadhara Pandit, then as the internal potency, so all the aspects of Shakti, Tattva, are then coming from her. And then Narad is the, you know, epitome or essence of the Jiva Tattva. So therefore, he is a prominent. So he's expanded everywhere. Yes.
In Bhagavatam, story of Narada Muni. It seems like he's depicted as a Vipassana, taking prasadam in the midst of the sages. Then we know him as a Nityasana.
Oh, how to reconcile that he's presented in the Bhagavatam sometimes as someone who becomes perfect, but at the same time as we always think of him as an eternally liberated person. So it's because he always takes part in these things. He sets example because he's guru of the universe. So it's always inspiring. It's generally the principle that we see that the Lord and his eternal associates take, is that when they come into the material world, they deal in the process that the ordinary living entities need to follow. And you see Krishna, then he takes, and he's just an ordinary person, and then he accepts the guru, he gets trained by him, and then after being trained, then he goes on and performs his duties. Of course, being God, then, you know, he learns it in just a few months, you know, everything like that. But he still does this. You'll see this, all the acharyas, they always have they go through all the stages of devotional service. They show that. Though them going through it may be, you know, a few minutes in some of them, you know. But the point is they manifest those. It's a point of taste also, of the thing of going, finding, like that. It's a reflection of the development of the means purvarag, or the complete attraction to the Lord. So in the liberated stage, that aspect happens. So that's a very pleasant thing for the Lord and for his devotees. So then that's reflected then in showing the lower process of that developing through the conditioned state. So that is there. So they always show those. So at the end of the Kali Yuga, at the end of the universe, then it appears that there is this pastime where a conversation comes up. I'm not sure if it's between Brahma and Narad. And somehow or another, because Narad is the perfect brahmachari, then somehow or another the discussion comes up and Brahma is not too pleased with his attitude. So then he arranges that Narad then takes birth as that Gandharva. I forget what his name is. But then he's surrounded, he's able to maintain the attention of 15 apsaras at once. Right? You see these apsaras, many times great kings and personalities can't keep their attention at all, let alone for any length of time. But he's able to maintain the attention of 50 qualified girls. So that means one has to be pretty dedicated to the idea that one is going to gain something from that interaction between male and female principles. One has to really be convinced to put out the effort to make yourself enough of a dancing dog to keep 50 women, you know, intrigued. So that's really absorbed. So that was what then, you know, if you think you're the big brahmachari, okay. Like that. And then from that, then he gets cursed by the demigods, then he comes down and takes birth as a maser. And then from the maser, by that association, then he comes up. So we see it's a pastime. In other words, how many 6-year-olds you know that by taking, you know, once prasad from the Mahabhagavats becomes a liberated soul and wanders the earth, you know, alone without any shelter and fully absorbed in these higher, you know, like that. So that's how you can tell is that it's a pastime that's arranged by the Lord so that you can give the proper example. You can tell Vyasadeva how he became perfect and how others therefore can follow that example. Because then in that life, that was the end of the universe. So that means that all this pastime would have happened within the last few moments of Brahma's last day. Like that, before the destruction of the universe. So then, like that, then these things go on. But the point is what is to be gained. That's always an important thing, is that what is desired is what is the purpose of the pastime. We always have to be focused that the pastime may have so many different aspects. What is, so many different aspects are there, but you have to understand what is being point being made. Like you see here, many times Prabhupada makes this point, it has already been discussed, the position of the Lord, and He's transcendental to the modes of nature. So, it's already been discussed, there's no need to bring it up. But Prabhupada brings it up just that much to say it's already been discussed, because then it reminds you. So that means it's a very important point, is that the Lord is transcendental. Otherwise it wouldn't be repeated. That's one of these symptoms, how you know that a point is important, is this repetition. So the tendency is in the modern is you take out repetition, right? If there's too much repetition, it'll be considered a literary fault. But the Vedas work on the personal principle. Whatever's important to you, you constantly refer to from different angles and different ways of looking at it, and even sometimes the same, because it's important. Therefore, you repeat it. You know, like if somebody goes, Mom, I'm hungry. Okay, they're hungry. They go, Mom, I'm hungry. It means you know just how much is repeated, how much more important it is. So therefore, this principle of Dvirupti is an important literary element that generally is neglected in the, you know, modern impersonal writing techniques. It's considered bad. But the Vedic principle is that you want to get your point across, so you have to make it as obvious and clear as possible. You know, it's succinct, but it's no fault to again and again and again refer. But here we see it's done very subtly. Prabhupada didn't go through it again. If he goes through it again, one might say it's too repetitive. But he just refers to it and say it's been as previously discussed. So that means you think back, oh yes, and then you'll contemplate it yourself. So that is a very clever literary argument. Like that. So that's the... Does that make some sense? How is he an incarnation? How is he worshipped the same? Because the Lord means his energies and everything. If we just take Krishna on his own, that's impersonal. You know, you always have the nice thing and the nice clouds and Krishna in the Om sign floating in the clouds. That Prabhupada never appreciated. Does that mean Krishna without his devotees? So the neophyte tends to just focus in on Krishna and leave out the devotees. Because for them, you know, I'm the devotee, what do we need anyone else for? But the principle is that the Lord and his devotees is the Lord. So the Lord and his energies is the Lord. Because the energetic has no meaning without the energy. You know, you have the rich man without his money. What's the meaning? The rich man is rich because of him. He has that money. So you can't separate them. You know, you use the term rich man. That means a man who has wealth. So if he has no wealth, then he's not rich. So you can't separate him. You know, like you said, blue water. You can't separate the blueness from the water. Otherwise, then you have blue and you have water. So the principle is that the Lord and his energies are non-different. So therefore, we're recognizing the Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the arti then is shown to the devotees. Then, because one could say it's shown to the devotees, so there's no need to take it around and give it to them. No, it's taken around and give it to them because it was shown to them as the Lord's devotees. That class means in the Lord there's also his devotees. The Lord's not complete without them. So the worship of the Lord doesn't have any meaning without worship of the devotees. Any system has to have worship of the devotees. In the 69 items of worship of the deity, in the 16th item, the last one, it's worshiping the Lord in all his different manifestations. His paraphernalia, his devotees, you know, through different ways that are, you know, through prayers, through offering oneself, through distributing prasad, through darshan, all these different things. So, it's one of the main items of worship is worshiping the devotees. So therefore you can't separate. That's why it gets a little bit mundane, the point of we're offering, making the offering, and then we can't offer it to the spiritual master because him being such a greedy person, he'll eat the whole thing. And then when it gets given to Krishna, then it'll be remnant, prasad, same with the arti. It's a grossly mundane concept, but unfortunately, I'd say probably the majority of the movement thinks that's the way the ritual works. They've completely missed our philosophical understanding and have accepted a grossly mundane concept of how the Panchatantric system of worship works. Because the Lord without his devotees is a mentality actually only for demons. You know, it's a demoniac mentality that there's no devotees. So this whole thing is that an inability to see the subtlety between the Lord and his devotees in that rasa of interaction. Because the Lord does not want to be approached directly. You have to go through his devotees. He says, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. So if you're not a devotee, then what are you? That's a surya. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. So someone who approaches the Lord in their offering, the arti, through the devotees, their devotees, and those who directly go to the Lord, that's non-devotional. They may be devotees, it's just a misunderstanding. But the principle is, it's a non-devotional, and there's no example of it anywhere in Pancharatra. No one can give an example. They'll say, oh, the Pancharatra system, you go into the ethereal and you offer the arti. You don't offer to the spiritual master then. But in that conversation, they've very cleverly finessed that you just spent 20 minutes in the room next door doing all that worship of the guru and everything and offering yourself and everything through that before you stepped into the deity room. So they just split it into two clear parts, which is very nice for people who, with some start, who've grown up with focus, that for half an hour they can focus fully on the deity, that they are the servant of their spiritual master, and only by his grace everything is going through him. But without such focus, then Prabhupada very cleverly took that and took each item and did the preliminaries, the Purvanga Karma, then the Ija, then preliminaries, Ija, Yoga Ija, Yoga Ija, Yoga Ija. So it's the same principle. So to miss that means whoever says these things, propagates these things, doesn't know what is the Vedic system. No idea. Absolutely no idea. So that's the thing, is that these subtleties are there. There's a difference, but they're non-different. Like the Lord is non-different from the creation, because it's him, it's his potency, but he's different. You know, Krishna and Balaram are non-different, but they're different. Therefore, a chitta made a big difference. It's the subtleties. You want to get the brudge? One has to have these subtleties. If one can't accommodate this, then Vaikuntha is the spot. That's the place. Is that they, means there's no need. It's not that they can't, there's no need, there's no interest. The brunch means is contradictions have to be able to function at once in the same place. Here you have the Supreme Lord, Lord of everything, source of everything, and he's putting Radha on his feet, on his head. So, that's a contradiction. So the Gaudiyas can appreciate that. So that's the... Does that make sense? Any questions here? What is Paribhasa Sutra? Paribhasa means the essential point. It means that what the whole book is being based on. Like that. It means that whenever you have something, there's a theme, there's a gupta. Whenever you want to communicate something, you have to have a main point. And so then based on that, then you have a literature. So therefore then there's the main principle of these that we're trying to establish. And by establishing that, then you get, you know, everything else then is expanding from that. So basically one sees that the Bhagavatam, that is the literature. If you could say is that it's the most important. In that you could take it that the four key verses, these are what the book is based around. You know, you have the four essential verses of the Bhagavatam and of the Gita. Everything expands from that. Krishna spoke to Brahma, the Veda was lost to him by the intrigues of the Madhu and Kaitava demons. Krishna again revealed, Krishna then said, Brahma asked, what is the essence of the Veda? He gave the Chaturshloki. So that Chaturshloki is then the basis of the Bhagavatam. So that would mean that the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literature. Also, the Pancharatra was spoken as essence of the Vedic literature. Vedanta Sutra is essence of the Vedic literature. But they're all based on the essence. So either coming in the form of the four shlokas, as in Bhagavatam, or in just the important elements out of the Vedic literature as the Pancharatra and the Upanishads, and then the essence of that being Vedanta. So these four verses then will establish what it's based on. So we see in there that Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, that is what is trying to be established. And in that is how to see Krishna in everything, everywhere, at all times, in all places. So the Bhagavad Gita is showing the technicalness that understand who you are, who God is, what's the material world, what is the essence of a relationship. Then, that would then expand into all the other details that were there. The Bhagavatam then takes the same point, goes a step further, then brings that into the Lord's pastimes. So we can connect it further. The first one is just to make us aware of who we are and how the Lord has entered the material energy through His vibhus. And then how to then connect to the Lord so we see the Lord in everything. So then these would be the main points that are there. Then next is, how many tattvas do we have? Technically we have three. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. One knows those three, then one knows everything. Everything is a breakdown of those three. Why do we worship Panchatattva, or Lord, come with other associates? Instead, can't we worship Gauri directly only? Means, the point is that the Panchatattva is the manifestation of all the energies, as we described with Mahatma. So that means the original Lord, who is the source of everyone, so His mood is that of the. He is the original enjoyer. He's the Vishad. Balaram is Vishaya and Ashra, but his mood is that he is Godhead. Then Advaitacharya means he is also Vishaya with the Ashra element of service, like Nityananda, but his mood is I'm the creator, maintainer, destroyer. So that's a different mentality than I am God. It's adding another element. So we see is that you have Godhead who is the enjoyer, then Godhead who is the servitor, then Godhead who is again, the servitor, but in that mood of creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Then you have his energies, because the Lord is non-different. That means Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita are always with their energies. So that's recognized in Gadadhar Pandit. And then Gadadhar Pandit expands the jivas for increasing the Lord's rasa as Shiva's Kaku. So that's why when one fully understands that, so when one is worshipping Gauri Thai, all these elements are understood, then one can worship Gauri Thai and get the same benefit. But the Panchatattva means it's the full manifestation of all the elements of God. Anything else? No. So, Jagdarashi Manipagatanti, Srila Prabhupada, Savaniha, Bhaktivinoditi, Jainita Gauru,
Shodhanesh Bhaktivinoditi, Mona Swami Ki.
Yeah.